Hello, and welcome to another edition of Lodging on Demand. In this episode, Lodging Editor-in-Chief Dennis Nessler discusses the third-party hotel management landscape with newly appointed Aimbridge CEO Craig Smith, the industry veteran whose resume includes a lengthy tenure with Marriott International. Also details the recent reorganization he spearheaded, the company's operating ethos, and its prospects for growth going forward.
Hi, this is Dennis Nessler, Editor-in-Chief of Lodging Magazine. I'm here today with Craig Smith, CEO of Aimbridge Hospitality. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you.
Craig, you've been in the position now for a few months. Wanted to get kind of your initial impressions of it, and is it everything that you kind of thought it would be? It's obviously a very large role that you've assumed.
Yeah, it's a different role. Listen, I spent 35 years on the brand side, managing hotels the same way, but it's a little different. It's like playing four-dimensional chess versus three-dimensional chess.
Interesting. Yeah.
One more stakeholder in the aspect that one of our stakeholders is also the brand companies. So Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, IHG. But it's been exciting. It's the world's a little different, but there's a lot of great similarities.
Sure. You mentioned your brand background, many years at Marriott. How has that helped serve you, in this role, or how do you even anticipate going forward that this will help you, your perspective on things with a third-party management company?
That's been a big piece. I mean, I grew up as an operator within Marriott. I mean, I started, in the hotels, was a general manager five times, then ran, 25 hotels, 50 hotels, 100 hotels. And I think my last job, it was 2,400 hotels across 131 countries. And so there's a lot of that background is really who I am. And when the board was looking for someone to fill this role, I think they really wanted, in this case, somebody who was a true operator, that their bones were really all about getting in and digging into hotels and making sure each hotel is successful one at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that one of the focuses of the company has been, being such a large company with so many properties to really have that kind of small hands-on approach and make sure that the owners feel that kind of hands-on approach from the company. What are you doing? What are some of the things that you're looking at to try to continue to make that a reality with such a large company and so many properties under your watch?
It's a great question, because it really is the first thing that I focused on when I got here. Well, two things. I was focusing on the culture of the company, but we really in some ways had to turn the spotlight off of the corporate building and onto each of the individual hotels. And, we were, maybe in some ways very proud and maybe bragging that we were large. Large doesn't mean anything to each owner unless you use your scale. And so what we really have been doing over the last couple of months is focusing on making it a hotel and a GM centric company. So everything that happens in this corporate building should be about answering the phone and providing services for that building versus the other way around. And I think if we continue to do that, we'll continue to see the performance of each of the hotels improve one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Craig, what are some of the ways that you're doing that? What are some of the specific ways that you're really trying to make that happen?
Well, one of the first things we've done is we've cut layers out. There were just too many layers between my position and the hotels. And with that, what happens is people really aren't listening to the needs of the hotels. And so we just did a reorg at the very top. We have four presidents before that reported in through a global president who were then reported to me. Those four presidents now sit on my team. And, that's called the functional heads or the discipline leads. Can really hear from them on a weekly basis on what they need and what is important for them versus us rolling out products or services that aren't quite as important. And so you see a lot more focus on listening to hotels. I've been in hotels, touring hotels more, asking questions, had a ton of meetings and lunches with general managers, just ask questions. hear what their concerns are, where are we performing well for them, where do they need help. And I think that's led to people really feeling it is back to all about the hotels. I've also been out listening to owners and saying, what do you need from us as we go forward? Mm-hmm. So cutting layers out in many ways gets you closer to your customers and also to your associates.
Sure. You mentioned scale, Craig. What What are some of the real benefits of scale? I mean, we know there could be some, you know, whether it's purchasing or different efficiencies, but maybe you can highlight a few of the things that scale can do for you guys.
Yeah, I'd say in our business, probably the greatest thing about scale is probably talent, right? I mean, that's what you're buying from us. You wanna have Ambridge provide you with the best general manager with the least turnover. And so because we're so large, we have the ability to build careers for people. We have quite a few people that have been here for 20 years. I think we had somebody that was like, a couple of folks since the inception of Ambridge, or in that case, Interstate. And so we have the ability with scale to really find talent and grow our own talent versus having to go out and buy talent. We found that, you know, one of the first things we did is we took a look and we said, listen, we've gone back and surveyed, and we found out that if we promote somebody within to general manager role, they have three times the potential of succeeding as somebody that we hire from the outside. And that's significant. It's significant for an owner. It's significant for us. And so what we want to be able to do is have somebody start off as, say, a front office manager in a full service hotel, become a general manager of a limited service hotel, move their way up, and really create an entire career for them. But they can work across different brands. They can work in leisure hotels and resorts and corporate hotels, convention hotels, give them all those experiences, but all in one place. And that translates into better talent. And so probably scale, my first thing I would say is talent. The second thing is probably our top line, our ability to drive top line. Because we're large, it gives us more revenue managers, bigger e-commerce department, more sales leaders. And so we're able to take leads that maybe won't fit in one hotel, or even a group that's in, say, Dallas this year wants to go to San Diego next year. And we're able to take those same leads and move them forward. And I think that's been very positive for us. And so there's a lot of good things that happen with scale, but you have to make sure that you're using it correctly and that you're leaning in on it.
Yeah. Craig, what about when you look at growth for Ambridge, what does that look like? I mean, is it just assuming, you know, continuing to assume third-party management contracts? Where's your focus in terms of growth?
I would say yes is the answer. I mean, I think we'll continue to grow in the United States. I mean, listen, we are the largest, but we're still at such a small percentage of the total market share, right? And so there's a lot of room for us to grow in the United States. We're also looking overseas. We've got tremendous growth happening in Latin America, and that's, you know, an area that I worked in before. Same with Europe. We've got our eyes set on Asia Pacific, and I think there's potential for us to work in Asia Pacific and grow over there as the large brand companies begin to franchise more and more, and people are looking for third-party operators overseas. And so the percentage-wise, I think number-wise, you'll probably see the largest growth in the United States right now. But percentage-wise, I think you're going to see a larger percentage of growth, or at least year-on-year compounded growth overseas as we're able to step into that space.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what are the numbers right now in terms of properties in the U.S.?
I'd say total properties. I don't know if I could break it out at about 1,200 hotels, I'd say. And I'd say maybe 200 of those are overseas.
Okay. So what are some of the differences and challenges with operating overseas? I'm sure there's some nuances to it. Any different way that you guys approach some of that?
Yeah, I'm smiling because it was my old world, right? I mean, I worked in my last job, I was group president with Marriott. We ran hotels in 131 countries. So you've got different languages, you've got different currencies. Obviously, and the currencies are challenging. You've got different labor laws. One of the big differences is that the employees that work for us in the United States work for Ambridge, and overseas they sit on the entity of the owner. Okay. And so all the other R's, it's a little more difficult to move them hotel to hotel. It's a lot easier in the United States. But I think we're going to work through that in some of the larger markets like the UK and others where we have scale. And I think we'll see it moving forward. I think the biggest thing is just making sure that you're growing, but you're not growing. You grow in, say, geographically, so you don't try to grow too fast and too spread out. So you don't want a hotel in Tierra del Fuego all the way at the bottom of South America and rest in Mexico. It's hard to service that hotel. And, you know, and listen, we're in a business. I think somebody had said today, you know, something about only being tempted when you have temptation. You know, we all claim that we want discipline around how we grow, but as soon as the deal comes up, we're all saying yes. But I think there is a need for us to be disciplined about how we grow and how we service our hotels.
Mm-hmm. So more of clusters of properties, maybe.
I would say clusters and start with markets and win in those markets first. And so Our approach, for example, in Latin America has been that we've started with Mexico. We're doing very well in Mexico. And as we continue to grow in Mexico, you'll see us kind of start to move south more and more. But starting there, in the case of Europe, we're very, very strong in the UK. And then after that, the Benelux countries. And then we were starting to move kind of east in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Kirk, how do you assess the third-party management landscape in the U.S.? What are your general thoughts on it?
I think it's growing. I mean, I've been given this kind of the Craig Smith view to everybody. You know, think of it for years, you know, somebody owned a hotel, they managed a hotel, and it was their brand, right? Mm-hmm. And then we had this great inflection point where all of a sudden you went to, let's call it asset light products.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of the big companies thought, you know, we all thought we were geniuses. We came up with it. And you had folks that were specialized in owning assets. And others that were specialized in running hotels, branding, you know, providing the channels and loyalty programs. I think what you're seeing right now is a huge inflection point that the management companies, the cost of loyalty programs, the cost of e-commerce channels, all these things are so expensive that they're becoming much more specialized in that. And they're moving in many ways away from managing. And what that's creating is a massive opportunity. And so as big as Aimbridge is, I think we're not even 10% of the market right now. And so there's a huge opportunity. And so you have the growth of our industry, but inside the growth of our industry, third party is actually growing probably at, you know, 2, 3, 4x of that. And that's creating opportunities. And inside of that, what you're seeing is maybe in some cases consolidation. So you've seen companies like Aimbridge where we had the two biggest acquisitions were Aimbridge and putting Aimbridge and Interstate together. But you've got other bolt-on acquisitions that have happened over time. And we've seen it with some of our competitors out there. They're doing the same thing. And they're doing it because as you continue to build scale, you're able to create better and more powerful digital tools. Your analytics become much more important. We talked about talent a little bit ago. So there's a lot of good coming out of it as we go forward. And I'm happy to see our competitors grow in this industry because in the past, a lot of it was, you know, very small companies kind of competing on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. What about your outlook for the industry in general? There's a lot of economic headwinds and, you know, have been really for the last several years, but the fundamentals of the business seem to be pretty solid. What's your outlook for the back half of 2024 and even into 2025?
Still positive. You know, I think that, you know, the economic headwinds really and the interest rates slow down the building of hotels, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we've seen is that hotels are still being built. They're just taking longer to build. Maybe we're building a little bit less than we did before, but you still have demand, right? And so that demand is translated into average rates. And so we were talking about earlier in the day about if you looked at, you know, even the slowdown of leisure lately, leisure rates are still way above where they were in 2019. And so it's all been very, very positive as we go forward. What we've seen as far as demand goes is that we came out of COVID and no one expected it, but leisure travel just went through the roof. I mean, part of it was revenge travel, as we called it. A lot of it was people working remotely, supposedly working remotely from the beach somewhere. and that's starting to slow down. So we're seeing, you know, leisure kind of, and I don't know why we all actually believed it was going to go on forever on a curve that looked like this, but it slowed down. But what we're seeing is groups coming back, especially large group associations, actually all types of group are coming back, and it's coming back very strong. And then business travel is returning. It's returning a little slower than group, but it's still returning. And so that as the tide's kind of going down a little bit, not going out, but going down a little bit on leisure travel, it's going up very, very fast on group, and it's coming in for business travel, and that's kind of replacing it. And so it's still pretty positive. There's still a lot of folks that want to, I mean, listen, people today, especially, you know, the millennials, my kids' age, you know, they value experiences over a product. And so it's a great thing for our industry as we kind of continue to see it growing.
Yeah, that is good. And we hope that continues for sure. Craig, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you would like more content like this, please subscribe to Lodging Magazine on YouTube. You can also subscribe to Lodging on Demand wherever you get your podcasts. For news and updates, follow at Lodging Magazine on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Or visit us at lodgingmagazine.com.